We need a lot more comfier things, man. Like, chairs is one of the things we've got to upgrade. Posters is another thing we've got to upgrade.
Audio we've got to upgrade.
Audio. We'll get there eventually. I mean,
I think we need some better chairs for my buttocks.
Yeah,
but it's very rough.
I mean, these are like the steel chairs that we got from Kmart. But it just goes to show that we can't really, when we start, it proves to everyone you don't really need fancy equipment to start.
Not really, but I think we've got to the point now that like we're starting to upgrade little things now.
Yeah, well, first thing we do, we've got the new cover art.
We've got the new cover art, that looks sweet. I hope you guys really like that. I'll play that at the start of the video. And that'll be the part of our new intro and things like that, but...
Yeah.
It looks good.
Happy with it.
Something that we're going to keep for a very long time, so... why not? Why not just do it?
It's a little bit more professional.
It's a little bit more professional than my average Photoshop job, but like, I was telling you for a good bit that we did need it to get a graphic done at some point. And to be honest, when I was with my girlfriend the other day, I went and like opened up my phone just to see what it would look like if I played an episode of that podcast and looked at it. The way it was, it looks so different. It looks unreal. I like it a lot. I think we've got a lot of even some of our friends reached out and just said, "Dude, that's sick."
Yeah, I was pretty happy with some of the support that I got from the changing from the cartoon and the graphic design, and just goes to show you we've got a little bit more professionalism, but it's a little bit of a step up. It shows how much we care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and well, here's overall thing. Do you ever like get excited when we do these?
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't excited.
Yeah. But this thing, whenever we do a MMA hour pretty much almost every week ever since we started, and we do a everyday hour here and there because there's just so much to talk to about in terms of MMA stuff.
Yeah.
But, man, like, I can't believe like how much stuff literally just goes down in a week within the UFC community and all the other fight world, you know?
Mm. There's so much going on these days, like... Yeah, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, well, where to start, really? Actually, I want to start off with something pretty cool, right?
Okay.
Because on the weekend, Alistair Overeem basically won his fight, which we'll get into, by the way.
Yeah.
So, I came across something on the internet, on one of those like MMA fight pages that we follow. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one it told me. But do you remember that band or that duo back in the day called LMFAO?
Yeah.
Do you remember those guys?
It was like Party Rockin' in the House.
Yeah. So they had a song quite a few years back. Like, if you don't know who LMFAO are, they were huge, like, almost at the start of this decade.
For a year.
For literally a year, they were like one of the number... They were literally the most looked at artists. And they came out because they had their wacky hairdos, their glasses. One of the guys
was Red Foo, and he went on like, was it X Factor, Australian?
That's correct, Got Talent,
and God knows why he was a judge, but...
Yeah, well, they literally just came out of nowhere with their song, what is it, Party Rock Anthem, and then they came out and they had songs like Sorry for Party Rocking, and then they had I'm in Miami, bitch. But one song they were probably was their most famous song, which was literally on the radio for weeks. I think it held the record for the most amount of times at number one. Right. Was the song Sexy and I Know It, right? Do you remember that song?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I do remember that song, yeah. That
was really bad. So, that's the context. So, on the weekend, I was scrolling through Instagram, and then one of those, like, MMA, pages, was talking about it, right? Uh-huh. And then they showed a clip from the music video, and then they were like, see if you recognize who this person is. You ready?
Okay.
Hold on.
Wait. Show me the laptop so I can see it.
I know, I'm just finding it up.
Oh, you just pausing.
Yeah, so do you notice who that man is?
Alistair Overeem is in the background.
No way. How the fuck, like, how on earth did that slip through?
How did you not notice that as well?
No, yeah, I mean, well, back then, we weren't really MMA fans. So
I was still an MMA fan.
So this guy, he's in the background of a music video.
That was 2011.
Yeah. Yes,
that was a long time ago.
That was back when he probably just got inducted into the UFC, you know what I mean? Or probably earlier.
Mm.
But anyway, so we got to stop the podcast after that. I mean, like, geez. Since then, it's got a little bit more views. Yeah. This was, like, years and years ago.
I had no idea who he was... Well, I think a lot of UFC fighters have been out of the music videos. I had no idea he was in the... What are they called again? LMFAO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at this right now... Oh, look... Do you recognize who that guy is?
Is that Cali Muscle?
That's Cali Muscle. Oh my God. I'm like, what the fuck? When you watch this shit, you at the time, you don't really recognize who those people are. Nah. But then you actually look at, but now you're a little bit more, I don't know, pop culture intelligent. You look at who these people are and you're like, holy crap. Sam.
Oh, they
yeah, some but looking back at this, man. Stuff. Yeah, looking back at this, this is like it's a little bit uncomfortable to watch, man.
It's really gross.
Yeah.
It was already gross back then, but now that we're like adults, this is really bad. Oh, no.
Yeah, I think that's enough to watch for one
Turn
day.
Turn it off.
Dude's. Anyway, so
you looked up this video, didn't you? You looked that up.
Yeah, yeah, I did look it up, and then I was like, holy crap,
I didn't fall into my feed. No,
anyway.
Don't change that subject. You looked up LMF.
Hey, focus on the podcast. Okay. So we're on the topic of Alistair Overeem, who put on a fucking dominant performance on the weekend. The dude's been fighting for 4 decades.
Well, he did very well for, because I think he's turning 41 really soon, so he's currently 40. But when I was watching him versus Sakai was fucking him up in the first and second round, but he stayed composed. He curled up, had his shell, and he was taking a little bit of punishment, but he was okay, right? He was very composed and calm through this. So first and second round, I would give to Sakai, right? It was at least 2018. And then I would say third was a bit edgy. And then round four was obviously went to Overeem. And I actually picked Overeem for winning by decision. So when I went in the fifth round, I was like, fuck yeah. Because through Verdict MMA, you get XP and things like that. It's like betting without any money, just with XP. But I was like really excited that Overeem was going to win out of decision. But then he KO'd him in the fifth round. He had him in side control, had really good wrist control. He held his wrists and so that he couldn't defend. He was just going bang, bang, bang. Funnily enough, though, when Overeem did win, Sakai was near. He was very upset. He went and rolled around the ground, hit the ground, and he was like, fuck. And he got up. And straight away, Overeem, like the good sport he is, because he's a nice Dutch guy. He came over and he tried to, help him out, and he was a good sportsman right after the fight, and Sakai had none of it. He just walked off.
Yeah, why do you think that was, man? Do you think
frustrated? No, he's I don't think he's a bad guy. He's frustrated. He lost.
Yeah.
You know, he lost, like, in the first two rounds. Sakai was winning. It was a 10-9 round for round one and two.
Well, here's the thing when people look at Alistair Overeem. The guy's been fought since, MMA was ever televised. I mean, he fought in Strikeforce, he's fought in UFC, he fought in Dream, he fought in K1, he's fought in Pride, like, the early days.
He's fought everything.
He's fought, literally everyone. Fought in pretty much every division there is. Every organization there is. Mm. And people always look at Alistair Overeem and they look at some of the damage he's taken. Like, for example, when
you talk about that in the last podcast. Yeah. Like, if you've gone through so many wars and been champion in so many different organizations, you've got to question the chin. A lot of people have, but he's still punishing.
He still fucking got it.
Yeah, he was still taking punishment against Sakai and that.
And he fucking shook it off. And then I think he just wanted to drain Sakai. You know what I mean?
He just said that, with the younger guy, he was also just going to take a little bit of punishment for now, and then he's going to come in into those later rounds and start turning up. And he did. When I posted it on our social media, I said technical and very, very calm way and calculated way he won through this way. Because, round one and two weren't going his way. It was still competitive. It wasn't nothing like a 10-8 round. It was still a competitive round. But round one and two would easily go to Sakai with the amount of damage he was putting on Overeem up against the cage. And then once it passed the third round, it started to go into Overeem's favor. He started to speed it up a little bit, started to throw a little bit more volume. He didn't want to gas out. And then, he's done really well. If you take out the Rosenstrike fight, because even afterwards he went and said, to be honest, I'll take anyone, but I kind of beat Rosenstrike. Look, he beat him for about 24 minutes and 30 seconds or whatever, and in the last couple seconds of the round, I think it was 4:57 or something, last 3 seconds of the round, on her last two, 4:56. All right, so for last 4 seconds of the round, he got caught, and he argues that it should have been waved off in the last couple seconds of the round. But we've seen this in MMA happen before. But Rosen Strike, he was beating him for the majority of 5 rounds, right? If we take out that Rosenstrike one and we just say, he could have won that very easily, he would currently be on a 5-week win streak.
You know, Arsarov is basically having one last run at the title, right? He's having one last run.
I think he's still looking for about maybe 3 more fights or something like that. Yeah.
Do you know who I think who you should fight next?
Derek Lewis.
No.
What?
John Jones.
Really?
Because John Jones wants to move up to heavyweight. Think about it.
Yeah,
Stipe versus right. Francis is coming up. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
Well, we did talk about this before.
Yeah. And then, you got Blades. And then, so you got Blades who could fight Rosenstrike.
Mm.
Derek Lewis has already fought, maybe. All right. So why not give John Jones to Overeem? Because if there's anyone who deserves to fight him in the division, it would be Overeem. Because Overeem is also fifth. You know what I mean? And John Jones, he's going to want to skip the pack and go straight to the title.
He should have someone in the top five, but not quite Stipe.
Yeah. So top 10 is a lot of names. Top five's enough because Arsarov's fifth. So there you go. There's a spot. Then maybe John Jones can fight one more after that. And then he can fight for the title. But I would like to see him fight Derek Lewis. Because I know
Derek
they'll
Lewis
talk a lot of shit.
During the fight, Derek Lewis, even the rounds he was winning, he was saying 10-8 to he would type on Twitter 10-8 to whatchamacallit. What's his name? Who did he just fight? Overeem, who did he just fight? Augusto Sakai,
yeah.
He would go 10-8 to Sakai in round 4. Like, even in round 5, the round 5 hadn't finished yet, and he's still saying it's a 10-8 to Sakai. He's taking the piss. You were showing me that video of him the other time where he jumped on the quad bike with his son, and his son jumped on the throttle and threw him through the bushes. I think he went through a wall. I swear he went and hit a wall.
You just reminded me of that video, and it makes me laugh every time.
Because he went and got his son to come over, and his son just jumps on the floor and just goes, and just shoots him through a bush.
Do yourself a favor if you're watching this. Go follow Derek Lewis on Instagram.
Yeah.
It is the funniest content ever. He keeps getting his stuff taken down, but he put up a video of a security cam footage of him on a quad bike, and then his son jumps up, grabs the throttle, and he just plants through a wall, tears up his garden. Just makes me laughing about it. And then he captioned it, we're okay.
Just locks him in his room for a week then.
He probably just
gets him doing gardening for at least he doesn't have to do gardening anymore. His son's already mowed the lawn with his fucking quad bike.
He just shits himself. But thinking about it, man, Derek Lewis versus Overeem, that would be interesting.
That would be a really good fight as well.
Yeah.
I also wanted to bring up what the other fight was the other day, and that was
talking about Overeem's
OSP versus Alonzo Menifield. Now Menifield, he was looking good. He was staying very competitive with OSP. OSP is about 38 now, so big difference, and there was a difference in height. I'll be honest, OSP looked different. He looked different from when we've seen him before, but you could tell he still had power. That first round was a competitive round, and then in the second round, in the first minute, the last minute of the second round, comes up, bangs him with a left hook on the way back, puts him to sleep. You can tell he can still bang, dude. I actually had OSP winning by submission or something like that. I did expect OSP to win, but I expected a submission because, that's a lot of the time that's what he does really, really well. He's looking good. You were really excited about Michel Pierre, right?
Mm-hmm.
Michel Pierre.
Oh yes, yeah. It's always weird. The guy's just like a cartoon character.
He's a madman. He must have crazy fucking cardio to do all these flips and shit everywhere.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw him, and he just like flips. He treats it like it's a like a show, like a legit. He loves to treat it like it's a
just that, one that's big. That's why it should be. It is a show.
He cares more about entertainment-wise value rather than actually just sort of hurting the guy.
Yeah, because you know he's gouged himself off, a little bit.
Doing bouncing little, off the cage. It's cost him a couple of times, and he flips, and then he does like these dances out to the ring. You know, he's an entertainer. He's more of an entertainer than a fighter. At the end of the day.
A lot of people, these fighters that recognize that they are entertainers, they do really well. You know, they talk a little bit more. They start doing a little bit more flashier stuff to get a little bit more hype around them and things like that. He looked really good. I heard there was a little bit of bad blood between him and the Zalim character.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's just talk and say the fact that how the hell is this guy lightweight?
He's a welterweight.
Welterweight, sorry. How the hell is that guy a welterweight? He's huge.
He should be a middleweight.
He should be a
middleweight. He's huge. He's ripped as, though. Let's be real. He's ripped as.
Oh, yeah. And then the way that he also fought was very... It was a little bit more calculated. He was a little bit... He wasn't relying too much on his tricks. He was like, nah, I really want to fucking hurt this dude, you know? And he won by submission in the third round. And there was bad blood between him and... Imadeev, is that how you say his last name?
Zalim Imadeev.
Man, we got to get better at pronunciation of some of these names. But the point being, there was a waiting, and he actually pushed Mikhail
at waiting. Doing all this Corona stuff, and they're like, don't touch each other, don't touch him. He's like, fuck you, I'm going to push you. Well, it is what it is. Like, a lot of time when they're in these very emotionally charged states, and if they say anything to each other, they really do want to fuck up each other really bad. So, where is Michelle currently in the rankings, in the welterweight rankings? Because he must be, he's been fighting fairly regularly, hasn't he?
Yes, but I don't think he's not in the top 10.
Yeah.
Not in the top 15.
He's not in the top 15? Yeah. No, yeah, because Robbie is number 15 right now.
Yeah.
Anthony Pettis, Nate Diaz. Funny that Nate Diaz, number 13, is fighting Jorge Masvidal at number 4. So
yeah, let's talk about that.
So the BMF like title fight, which is supposed to be a one-off.
For the audience context, do you want to rerun what happened in that fight, Matt?
Tell them what happened. So Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz had a little bit of hype around them. They were going to fight. Even The Rock was going to come out and, you know, do a little bit of press, put the belt on the fighter that won. And to be honest, let's be real, Jorge won. It was going to be a five-round fight. It got stopped in the third round or something like that due to a cut. Diaz said, oh, that's not good. You know, I could feel him fading. I was going to turn it up where in the past that doesn't mean anything. You would still be 3-2. You would still, you know, anyway. His only chance would have been knocking him out, and Jorge was looking very dominant. He won every round.
He got some of those kicks, man.
His kicks are insane. So he does a very funny kind of tie kick. It's very, and he does a really good combo where he just rushes you.
Oh yeah.
There's a really short rush combo, and it seems to be working really well. It worked against Kamaru Usman. It just didn't go his way at that time, but. Unfortunately, he was stopped by Dr. Stoppage, and we know that with Nate Diaz, with the amount of fights he's been doing, he's been in the since 21 years old, he's been in the UFC, right, doing a lot of fights. He's got a lot of scar tissue above and below his eye and things like that. So
it was a reoccurring cut.
They're quite prone for opening, though. So he was fighting against Conor McGregor. We knew that was opener. That's always a bloody fight whenever you're fighting Conor, and then. Who else did he fight? He fought someone else after that. I'm blanking. Anyway, Anthony Pettis.
That's right, yeah.
He fought Anthony Pettis, and that happened again. You know, to be honest, this might be a little bit controversial. I don't know how you feel about it, but I would say...
Sorry.
That's all good. It happens to the best of us. Should have the BMF rematch happen now? I don't think. I think it should have already happened before the Kamaru fight.
I think it's an okay time to have it, considering, you know, a lot of people were really irritated by the way that fight went down. Like, a lot of people went after the doctors. A lot of people went after the doctor who called the stoppage.
They were saying all kinds of things. They were telling, threatening him and things like that.
Oh yeah,
which the doctor's job, right?
I thought was a bit bang out of order, but
really bang out of order. It's not good for the reputation of sport either.
No, but consider, because some of these people, they just love to see bloody fights. It's a little bit of a, you know, when there's a, when you go to these fights, people want to see blood. It's weird. It's a bit strange, you know.
It is strange.
They love it, but the point being, though, knowing who Nate Diaz is probably one of the toughest people in the UFC in general. He would have just fought on. He wouldn't give a fuck about that card. He would have just fought on, you know what I mean?
You can even argue there's been a lot of fights that have been a lot bloody and had worse cuts.
That's
and
the worst
that they've been pushed on. I think it was just the size of the cut in a place where it could, you know, damage his eye and things like that. And then it would be costly in the future where he couldn't fight again. I put this forward that I think that maybe it should have been done. Masvidal should have done the rematch before he fought Kamaru, right? Now, hear me out. So he's now beat Nate Diaz. He said he would run it back. He wasn't happy about it, even though, to be honest, Dr. Stoppage, it's you know, it's still okay because, you know, he still hit him in all the right places and things like that. You won, you know, you won at the end of the day, right? Saying that, he said he wanted a rematch. I would have preferred if they did the rematch straight away because it was meant to be a one-off, right? Do the rematch, be done with it. BMF belt, it's not an actual one of these ultimate champion fighting championship belts,
yeah,
right? Should have done straight away because if, let's say this, that Diaz does win, he jumps from, because he was most likely at the time outside the top 10, into the, you know, number 4 position or something like that, then fight Usman afterwards for a belt. Now you're saying Diaz would win fight for a belt? Of course he would, which is why he's fighting for a BMF belt, right? I would say if they should have done it straight away because it would have really set up the next one in line to fight Kamaru or something like that, even when Gilbert that fell through.
Here's why I think it's a good time to do it right now.
Okay.
Because we're heading down. It's September right now. We're on the 7th day of September. Coronavirus, well, it's still active in the world. It's really starting to take a plummet, okay? A lot of people or a lot of politicians are predicting that by the end of the year 2020, end of this year, coronavirus is almost gone. And then 2021 is going to be damage control, okay? So you have this fight now. The winner of this fight of the bad motherfucker belt goes on to fight Conor McGregor because here's why. You have Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor, trilogy. What we talked about in the last podcast. Everyone wants.
Would work well.
Or a Masvidal versus Conor McGregor. Can you imagine the press conference that would go down between those guys?
It would be insane. It would be really good. I would also put this forward. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. But I would also put this forward. If we're looking even further down the line where Corona is out there and Conor can fight anyone in the welterweight division and not in the lightweight division like we hoped, to fight the winner of Jorge versus Diaz. Because whoever does win out of that is number 4.
Yeah.
Which means anyone in the top 5 kind of has the right to start talking about a title fight against Kamaru Usman. If we look even further than that, if Conor beats that person out of there, he's now got a BMF belt. He likes belts. We can tell. He likes belts. First double champ, right? To then go for a Gilbert Burns or a Kamaru Usman. A big welterweight title fight.
Okay.
I know we're looking very far ahead, right?
That's very far ahead, but that could be 2021. But the thing is, I feel like Dana White, he's like a Yu-Gi-Oh card player right now.
Right.
And he's got Conor McGregor on the field, which is a trap card, and face down. He's
trying to summon
it. He's trying to summon it, you know, but he's got to sacrifice the right... Or he's got that special... He's maybe a special monster card, and he's like trying to sacrifice the right monsters, so he's got it on the field, sacrifice them up. Summon Conor McGregor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can, and it's one of those cards you can only summon like once a year. It's like the special, it's like a special card, you know what I mean? A special monster card.
I wonder what would have happened with, because Conor actually said this 2020 was going to be his season, right? He was going to fight maybe 3 times or something like that. This was going to be his season, and you know, no one can no one expected coronavirus to be this long or this heavy on all these different nations, especially with getting fights done and having groups of people actually spectating and watching. I wonder what would have happened with Conor's fight after he beat Cerrone in the welterweight division.
Well, he was ready to go. I mean, everyone was like excited for him. It's just,
I wonder what would have happened if Cerrone didn't hit.
Well, it's,
I don't know.
I think this year would have been very, very different because of coronavirus.
It's been a shit show. It's been a bit of a shit show.
I mean, like, coronavirus is still pretty active around the world. Like, some countries right now are getting hit so hard, like India. I remember someone sent me, like, India had, like, 70,000 new cases or something like that in a day.
They have such dense possibilities. Yeah. And also, they, you know, on top of that, they don't have one of the worst polluted areas on Earth.
Oh, yeah.
China, India. India is actually on track to beat China in pollution and things like that. So they're so densely populated, they already have terrible air quality and things like that. They don't get they most likely it does affect vitamin D and things like that, so which further affects the severity of COVID and things like that.
It's weird because some countries literally have just been hit with this coronavirus. They got hit and then they got a million times worse with the second wave. Like, India's now at 71,000 deaths. Like, Brazil was, didn't have anything, was all good for a while, and all of a sudden it just, like, skyrocketed, and now is at 126,000 deaths. United States is at 191,000 deaths.
Can you do me a favor? Can you look up China's?
China's? Yeah, but the thing is, China, like...
Well, that's why I want you to look up China. It's because they bullshitting. They're not. Their stats will be shit. Their stats will be complete... They're rubbish. They're not real. They're not real. You know, you were telling me when during this corona stuff, and you said, dude, I've been reading some stuff, and some people have been saying, you know, possibly mass graves and things like that in China.
Yeah.
Which is fucking horrible. But, you know, then China then says, oh, no, we're opening up Apple stores and things like that. And then I'm like here in Australia going, we haven't even opened up Apple stores yet. Now they have now, but back then... People were already talking about mass graves while they were still opening up stores and things like that.
Well, one thing that happened was that when coronavirus first came around in Wuhan, everyone was like, okay, we're acknowledging it, right? And then there was just it was so weird to get information out of it, because I remember it was a weird time for the internet. Mm. Like, there was, oh, you know, there's mass graves going, oh, no, it's fine. Oh, this is all over Wuhan. Oh, no, it's not. There was so much debate going on, and then what happened was...
Not enough action. There were more debating rather than actually writing a plan.
There was no preparation for this whole thing, and then when the whole thing struck and everything went down, I mean, like, for a while, people were just kind of waiting for it, you know what I mean? I remember a lot of people just passed it off like it was nothing. But me, myself, when coronavirus was first going around, there was a lot of fear going around. I was saying, no, it's fine. Wash your hands, you know, look after yourself, you know, get some sun and take your vitamins. And then, what is it? Everyone was like, oh, we're going into a panic. And then I was like, dude, if you look at the amount of people that have died so far from the same concerns in terms of, like, population, it's not going to happen. And then just, I was proved wrong, and then we went into lockdown.
The toilet paper fights and things like that.
Did you actually get, like, go to the store to get toilet paper?
I know you did because it was all gone.
I sent you photos of it.
You went to like different stores to try and find toilet paper.
Yeah, I had one box of tissues. I had to use that box of tissues for like a whole week or so.
It was why has toilet paper?
Yeah, toilet paper was gone.
To be honest, I reckon that would be nicer on your bum.
Yeah,
I think that'd be nicer on your butt.
The baby wipes did.
You got baby wipes as well?
Yeah.
Hey Joe, I'd hate to tell you this, right? Those are for babies.
I know. But they were soft.
I'm sure they'd be nice.
They were.
You'd almost be like between like wiping your bum and a bidet.
Yeah.
Be in between.
It's good. It felt nice. I liked it. It wasn't too bad. I still use them sometimes.
I want to turn that into a meme. It's not bad.
Well, if you look back, man, like coronavirus feels like a distant thing for us right now in WA.
Oh, don't I tell you? Robert Patterson, He's got COVID. Yeah. Batman's been on hold for a bit. Yeah. Now, we knew that was going to happen because they've only filmed about 25%.
Dude, coronavirus is like, here's the thing. Coronavirus is now flipping up its trap cards.
The Rock's got COVID. Robert Pattinson's got COVID.
His kids got COVID as well. Glover Teixeira got COVID.
Oh, Glover Teixeira.
Yeah, he got COVID. And now his fight with Thiago Santos is pushed back to October 3rd.
Yeah, see, that's going to be an excellent fight as well. I reckon we'll talk about that closer to October because it's ages away. But fucking hell, COVID is taking no prisoners. And because they've got COVID and they're not showing symptoms or anything like that, all this great content is off. Yeah. I was looking so forward to Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
It's like push everything back. It's like that annoying...
How'd The Rock get it? He just works out in the gym and goes home.
No, he was going around talking to people. Nothing stops The Rock. Rock loves to go around talking to people, still hugging people.
I'd love to have like one of these, because he has one of those portable kind of gyms he brings around with him and that.
Now we know what he's cooking.
Yeah. We know what The Rock is cooking.
Well, here's the other thing. Coronavirus affected the Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns fight because it was pushed back. Now we've got a confirmed date for the Kamaru Usman fight, and it is going to be later. It's aiming for later on, so we don't have a confirmed date, but it's for later on during the year. So Gilbert Burns, Usman, second time, let's hope it happens, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I'm
so excited for that. If anyone's got a chance to, you know, to beat Usman, it's Burns. I really feel that. I feel like Burns gives him the biggest challenge, just like maybe Gaethje and Tony has the biggest challenge for Khabib.
Well, the thing is, we know that Tyrone Woodley loves to have, Kamaru Usman, loves to grapple. He loves to be in that dominant position. Mm. He's going up against a high-level grappler.
Exactly.
Gilbert Burns has videos of when he competes in those grappling tournaments.
I've been watching them.
Yeah, me too. Them. So if Kamaru Usman goes into that, wants to wrestle, Gilbert Burns is going to be ready.
Kamaru is an amazing champion, right? But Gilbert Burns, the hype is real.
Yeah.
His cardio is very good. His striking against... Tyrone Woodley, who's a very great and powerful striker, schooled him in that, right? You know, to beat Tyrone Woodley in that fashion is not easy, right? Especially one that has been reignited and ready to go. I didn't expect that from Gilbert Burns, and he looks really good. Yeah. He looks really good. Him versus Kamaru Usman is most likely a better matchup than Kamaru versus Jorge.
There you go. So now we've got Colby Covington versus Tyrone Woodley. What's your thoughts on this fight? Because I feel like it's a little bit late, you know what I mean? They've both got a loss. You know, the card doesn't really have anyone who I would stands out. I just want to watch that fight, no other fights really, because we know that Colby Covington loves to talk shit, but you kind of can't talk. You lost a bit of hype when he lost to Kamaru Usman.
Dude, he's got two losses on his pro career.
Yeah.
He's not done. And one's to the champ. And a competitive fight as well. Going into round three, you could argue two. Kamaru won two rounds, Colby won the other two rounds. So
what you also got now is two guys who are coming off losses, right? And two guys who also hate each other. So whoever loses this fight is going to get pushed down.
They hate each other bad.
Like, Colby Covington was calling out Tyrone Woodley ages ago. And we know Colby Covington loves to talk smack in between his band commercials. Which is, I sent you that, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I sent you another one of his videos.
You sent me another one?
So bang, I've got a pre-workout now.
Do that?
Yeah.
I saw them in the store the other day, but it was the cans.
Yeah, I sometimes drink the cans. They're not as strong as Monsters.
Oh, they're not?
No. But sometimes there's a couple of flavors that have pretty decent tastes.
Mm.
But they focus way too much on marketing.
That's how they try and compete with Monster and things like that. You never know, they might be trying to sidestep Monster out of the way. One thing I did want to note, like to take notice, is Tyron's actually working with Jorge right now. Right? Jorge is about to fight Nate Diaz. Mm-hmm. And Tyrone Woodley is now going to fight Colby.
Yeah.
Colby is one of Jorge's ex-pals.
Yeah.
Really close friends as well. You know, Colby, when stuff was tight, you know, Colby would be sleeping at Jorge's place and things like that.
So what happened between the two of them? Do you know?
In the same division, plus I think Colby really came to a point where he had to pick himself and he had to reimagine himself. And that meant getting rid of Jorge and just cutting him off and then becoming someone completely different. You know, it's really... They've got old videos of how they interacted as friends. They look like really close mates. You know, they hung out all the time. You know, they went to the clubs together. You know, they're sleeping and eating at the same place and training together. And then not that long after, they're fucking not friends anymore. I want to ask you, right, because Colby is fighting Tyron. Tyron is giving Jorge lots of tips and training with him at AT&T. With this information, do you think Tyron beats Colby? I don't know.
It's a hard matchup to judge. I mean, I do. I was a fan of Colby. You know, I was a fan of, well, before he was making those bangers. Jesus Christ.
I'm a fan of his skill set.
Me too. Because the pace that man puts on when it came to his fights. Hell, when it was
smart as well.
Gagne against Murray, he was like he loves to trade hands against when he fought Robbie Lawler. God, man, we all love Robbie Lawler. Respect for him. But everyone was counting on Robbie Lawler to beat Colby Covington. Colby Covington made him look like a...
He beat him up for 5 rounds.
He beat him up 5 rounds. He treated that man like a punching bag. He treated him like a punching bag because by the end of it, like, I think Colby Covington broke the record for most strikes thrown in a single match or most strikes landed. It was just sad to watch. Like, I was like, stop it. Oh, I was just saying, Robbie, do something, man. Like, I know I'm a fan of Colby, but I didn't want to see Robbie go down like that.
It's difficult because sometimes when you're a fan of two fighters and they're going to fight each other, you're like, I hope they both knock each other out or they draw or something like that.
Sometimes I feel like that way because I have a lot of fighters who I really enjoy watching. It was like that when I felt that way for Cowboy versus Conor because...
You're like, you know, both.
We love Connery's right there. I mean...
Cerrone, I've got to add one of Cerrone.
Yeah, oh, we don't have Cerrone on there.
Because I need to add lots of them, so a lot of them was just ones I had off the top of my head. I had to keep the Australian ones in there and things like that. Just to run through it, we've got Khabib, we've got Amanda Nunes, we've got Bisping, we've got GSP, we've got Romero, we've got Adesanya, we've got Anderson Silva, we've got Jones, we've got Connor, we've got DJ, we've got Justin Gaethje, we've got Stipe, we've got Max Holloway, we've got Alexander Volkanovski. We've got Robert Whittaker, we've got Alexander Gustafsson, and we've got DC. So Demetrius Johnson over there, DJ, and DC is Daniel Cormier. Now, I'm going to fix this up and I'm going to make a few more of them. I want them to be in the background because, you know, some of these fighters are the ones that come to mind. Now, the ones that are blank are going to be photos of us or people we admire. Now, we've got Bruce Lee because, you know, not only does he relate to the martial arts side, and just an overall legend. We love his films and things like that, but it was also his philosophy that we both enjoy very much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got his books and I like to read his philosophy and things like that.
I've read his biography, which is
very well detailed. That's got little snippets of his biography that I really enjoyed as well, and stuff from his wife's perspective and his friends. And the other pictures here I'm going to add and things like that, but I want to fill this whole wall with shit. I want this whole background, and I want everything around here, in front of us, and to the side. I want everything covered.
Well, we want to decorate this place and make it a little bit more look to it. Yeah, basically, well, we're looking to get some posters.
If anyone has any...
it just shows it's another thing we've got to upgrade for the podcast.
Another thing to upgrade, but...
Well, that's a good thing. I like it because there is so much room for improvement.
That's what you always want to strive to do, is to improve, but I wanted to put this out and just say, like, if you guys... If anyone out there, like family, friends, or anyone that just listens to the podcast, things like that, if you maybe DM us or like write a comment or anything on things like that, what you think we should have in the background or fighters, and, oh, I don't even have BJ Penn or something like that. Fuck. We should have BJ Penn and things like that up there.
Oh,
I don't have Tony up here.
You know what we should do right now?
I've got a really long list. It's just I ran out of images.
You know what you got to do? All right, we got all these cards coming up, right?
Yeah.
The winner goes on the wall. Colby Compton versus Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. All right, Colby Compton versus Tyron Woodley.
Okay, then we got Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. Well, we've got Israel up there, so maybe stick Paulo Costa up there.
I've got Romero up there, because you can't not put Romero up there. Soldier of God, he has to go up there. I had to put Amanda Nunes. I had Ronda Rousey, but I don't know what... Sometimes when I've printed off images and I didn't have enough room, so I just need to get more of these sheets and... put them up everywhere. They're going to look sick.
I mean, pretty much. It's just, we're excited for the 27th of September. Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Paulo Costa hasn't been tested yet. That's what the word's going around right now.
He's huge, by the way. He's got 240 pounds. That's insane for cutting to 185. Now, he would usually walk around about 220, which means he's another 20 pounds overweight than he usually is.
He's bragging about it as well on social media. He's bragging, yeah, I haven't been tested. I haven't been tested. I'm like, what's going on here?
To be honest, if you're doing something dirty, would you be... saying, oh no, I haven't been tested. I think he's a freak. I think he's just a freak. Genetic freak, just like Romero. Because that's what happens when you're the very best of MMA. You're going to get the very best physically as well. Physical specimens and things like that. I wanted to bring up, because over there we've got Anderson Silva. Who can't have him, you know, the GOAT? You know, amazing fighter and things like that. It's really sad, because we talked about the other day how it's really sad that some of our fighters... and they're retiring that we really liked, like DC, Anderson Silva. This is his last fight. The thing against Conor never really materialized. I don't know. I think he was unhappy about that. But like, his next fight is against Uriah Hall, and it's going to be his last fight. It's been confirmed the Spider's last fight is Uriah Hall. What do you take of that?
Do we have a date?
Oh, let me bring that up, actually.
You know who else is coming to the end of his career?
What?
Diego Sanchez. He's fighting on the UFC 253 club, but here's the thing.
Oh, he used to be one of my favourite fighters. I mean, he still is, but...
he is fighting in the prelims. How dare you?
In the prelims?
Yeah.
You've got Diego Sanchez in the prelims.
Yeah, and then you got three fights in the main card. I don't even know these fighters. Kai Kara France, Brandon Royval, Hakeem Dawoodu. I don't even know these fighters, and you put Diego Sanchez below them. That, how dare you? That's Diego Sanchez should be on the main card.
I recognize some of the names, but I think, especially if it's going to be his last fight, don't disrespect the man. And
yeah.
He needs to be part of the main event.
I mean, a guy who's got 31 wins, 12 losses. Oh, he's actually fighting Jake Matthews as Australian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to be interesting. Come on, son. And then you got people in the main card, like the names are. Yeah, come on, son.
Okay, so maybe they haven't confirmed it, but it looks like Anderson Silva versus Uriah Hall would be on October 31st, so Halloween, October 31st this year. And it looks like this is most likely his last fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's 45 years old now.
Yeah, Anderson Silva, man, the things that you have done for the MMA community in general is never going to be forgotten, because the dude, he was considered the most dominant athlete in UFC history for a while, because I believe he held the middleweight title for pretty much a better half of a decade. Yeah, you know, we all remember him. Some of his fights are like highlight reels, like his front kicks, his submissions, and Chael Sonnen, you know, pulling the triangle when he was getting beaten by Chael Sonnen in like literally the last round. He pulled that quick triangle choke, and, you know, it's stuff like that he's always going to be remembered for. And, you know, there was a time when he got busted for steroids, but then he came back, and now he's fighting. Man, I hope we give him like a 21-gun salute off, really.
If there's anyone that deserves that kind of thing, it's Anderson Silva. Like,
he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame for real.
Oh, easily. But his last fight was in May 2019, so better of a year ago. And that's when in the first round against Jared Cannonier, you remember that guy. Mm-hmm. And he suffered by defeat by a leg kick. Remember, he kicked him and his knee gave out.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to wave it off. And the one before that was when he fought Israel Adesanya. Which is a competitive fight as well, though, but Adesanya 100% unanimously won that. you know, he hasn't, other than that, he hasn't won in the last 3 years, which is sad because, like, we saw similar things with BJ Penn.
Mm.
BJ Penn, you know, one of the greatest as well.
And I think he was on a 6-fight losing streak now, and then he lost in the Prelims, and then
when they start to get a little bit more aging competitors, like now Anderson Silva is 45 now, he's got nothing else to prove because a lot of people, any time you start talking about GOAT status, they always go middleweight champion Anderson Silva.
Yeah. Done. GOAT status, yeah.
So that's going to be a really good fight. Uriah Hall, he's got an excellent resume himself, and he's got amazing highlight reel when he's, you've seen that spinning back kick he connected in the Ultimate Fighter?
Oh, yes. Yes, that was impressive.
I'm going to bring that up now so you can just have a look at it.
That was probably one of the best knockouts on the Ultimate Fighter there's ever been. Well, not even that, but he loves to throw those spinning back kicks and start turning side kicks.
Exactly, but there's even some ones where people have started in when he's sparring, things like that. And some people are going hard sparring against them, and he does a nice little spinning back kick right in their solar plex. Damn.
He's not afraid to throw those. It's such a dangerous kick to throw because it expends so much energy, and if you miss it, you know, you're exposing your back. And
coming from a Taekwondo background, I'll tell you right now, there's so many kicks out there that are way more expensive with energy. Spinning back kick isn't as much. The spinning back kick can be used as a really tight kind of counter. Things like, you know, spinning kicks and tornado kicks and things like that can expend a lot more energy than just a quick short spinning back kick. I want to bring you up here the Ultimate Fighter season 17, the knockout of the season. I think I've muted the audio.
For context, this was the Ultimate Fighter season 17 when
it was back in 2013.
When Uriah Hall, who did he fight though?
I'm not too sure. Someone else on the Ultimate Fighter.
I remember when Dana White was absolutely freaking out after this knockout. Bam! And then he's just like on the ground. And then and then everyone's like screaming, like, whoa.
Did he go do a Hadouken?
Oh,
yeah. Is that Hadouken or a Kamehameha?
Yeah, look at Dana White. It's just like, oh, Jesus.
Very pink Dana. Very, very pink Dana.
The guy's fucked the guy's face.
Yeah, the guy's fucked. So he didn't get him in the solar plexus, he got him in the face, and you can tell Uriah was like, I really needed to win, but fuck.
Yeah, he's almost like, fuck, Jesus.
Man's in very good shape as
well, hats off to him.
Hats off to him. He's got an excellent highlight reel. A lot of these spinning back kicks that work really well against... really good for countering and things like that.
Well, he also proved that some of the amazing fighters in the UFC have actually come from those Ultimate Fighters.
Diego Sanchez.
There you go. And then we got also now Dana White's got his Contender Series, you know, which I've watched here and there. There's some good prospects coming up.
We watch a couple of those ones because we always like to keep an eye on them in case we can also like talk to them and see how they go. I also wanted to bring someone up because this is a guy that's for Anderson Silva, Nick Diaz.
Oh.
Have you seen that now? I'm going to show you this on Twitter, Ariel Helwani.
Yes, I saw this.
Today. He weighed in the 165 to 175 pound range per his manager, Kevin Mubenga. He just completed a 14-week diet and training regimen. This is the first time he cuts weight in approximately 4 years. Diaz wanted to do a test cut because, and if you look on to the very end, because he's keeping a close eye on the big welterweight fights coming up. He's 100% planning on fighting again per Mubenga and targeting at an early 2021 return.
Who do you think would be a good fight for him?
They thought about doing that right afterwards because Nate Diaz lost, and then Nick went and said, how could you do that to my little bro? Now he comes in to... It's not a bad narrative, right? And Jorge goes, all right, come on, then.
He's probably... Well, you remember how he's famous for saying, where you at, George? Where you at? And I was going to say, where you at, Jorge? Where you at?
Well, everyone calls Jorge George anyway. They always call him George Masvidal.
Yeah.
Instead of pronouncing it correctly. Although we're horrendous for pronouncing fighters' names well. we're not good at it at all.
Yeah. We're both past high school English, so...
past them. I also wanted to show you something as well. It's interesting because Nick Diaz is one of the greats as well. And, he put on some absolute wars, and I'd love to see him fight again as well. Even Nick Diaz versus Conor McGregor would be an amazing fight as well.
One of the things about Nick Diaz is he's just one of those fighters that's just been dealt a bad hand when he had that marijuana.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Let's be real.
The thing is,
Explain that.
As a sports scientist, there's not much studies out there that shows that marijuana has a positive effect on sports enhancement, which was what he was trying to prove. It's a recreational drug, basically, and it's a lot of athletes actually smoke marijuana because they believe it calms them down. Like, it's such a stressful life, man. Bloody ads. So it's such a stressful life, man. You like got people around you, cameras in your face every 5 minutes, and you got all these people trying to talk you up, all these people trying to burn you, all these people want to get a piece of your life. Some people just want to take a photo of you for clout. You know, it's stressful, and when you lose, no one cares about who you are, and then you think that's it. And the hardest thing for some athletes to do is go back to a regular life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when they're at the top, and when they're, especially fighters, they get beaten up all the time, they need something to take their mind off it. They turn to recreational drugs like marijuana, even if it's in low dosages, you know what I mean? It was just really unfair when he got popped, and I think he got banned for like 5 years, and then he got
reduced.
He got it reduced to like 2.
I think they got it even more than that, but like, again, very silly. The only thing I could even suggest that marijuana would improve is maybe a bit of social anxiety or a little bit of performance anxiety before a fight. Calms you down beforehand, you go in there, boom.
Yeah, it was a political issue, you get what I mean?
It's a little bit more of a political issue because a lot of places in the world, marijuana is legal.
Here's the thing. He got busted once for marijuana, right, which you use here and there. Which some would argue don't even believe is that bad. Compare that to some fighters who have literally been busted for steroids, which they've been taking for ages, and they get a far less sentence. How about this? Get busted multiple times. John Jones, I'm talking about you. How many times have they been popped for steroids?
2. Yeah. Like, he's had multiple kind of things. Like, I think he was like stripped at one point because he hit a pregnant lady or something, or drag racing or whatever. And then there was times when he was cocaine and hookers, and then he popped twice because there was one time before the Daniel Cormier fight, he went and tested positive, and there's that scene of when Dana goes over to Daniel and goes, James popped. And he slams, like, it's like, fuck, man, I trained so hard for this shit.
Yeah, dude, well, you know who else is going to come, who's a steroid boy is coming back? The old Brock Lesnar is now a free agent.
He is. Ooh. Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
You know what we should do? Just have a free free weight fight between John Jones and Brock Lesnar, and they can take all the steroids they want.
Go on all of the picograms.
Yeah.
All of the picograms.
And let Brock Lesnar go on a fresh cycle of test. Just
oh, and I want them to pump all the stem cells into him, into his face, into his knees, everything. I want him to just.
I honestly remember when that guy fought what's his name?
Mark Hunt.
And then the commentator says, oh my god, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. I'm like, dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger was pumping his ass for the steroids all the time back when he was a professional bodybuilder.
Also, didn't look like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, and not even that, but like, you just compared a sport where it was supposed to be drug-free to a sport where that allows you to take all the drugs, and then you just said, oh yeah, he looks like him. I mean, come on. And then he got busted for steroids before and after the fight.
It wasn't a steroid. It was a estrogen blocker.
Oh, okay.
It's an estrogen blocker, which is what you use when you're on.
Yeah, steroids. Yeah.
Because naturally, when you increase your testosterone, it affects that that feedback loop that is in your endocrine system. So when you start producing a little bit more testosterone, you start growing a little bit of man titties, you start...
the gynecomastia, that's what it's called.
Yeah, you start getting mad gyno and growing hair and...
Your emotions are all fucked up.
So you get an estrogen blocker.
There you go.
You know?
So...
Sometimes people take estrogen just because it also kills... an estrogen blocker because it Estrogen can kill a lot of testosterone and things like that, so it naturally increases their testosterone.
You know what would have been cool for Brock Lesnar? If he ever fought in Pride.
Yeah, well, because he's an older man now. Imagine someone like that when you put him into mixed martial arts from a young age.
And there were some big names that came out of Pride, and Brock Lesnar would have been able to fight them all. You know what I mean? Imagine, but then again, you know, I'm pretty excited to see. I mean, people are going to watch Brock Lesnar either way because, you know, he's done everything. You know, he was a real high school wrestler. And like, there's photos. I'll show you a photo of him when he was like Brock Lesnar.
I don't know if it materializes because for a good period of time, they even did a lot of press for Daniel Cormier versus Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar even came into the cage and had that little promo and things like that. It never actually materialized, so I'm a little bit skeptical, but does it mean I won't watch it? Fuck no, I'm watching it. You know? He's a big lad. He's huge. How much did he have to weigh? Like 260? Cuts to 260, obviously, right? He's huge.
Dude, this was him when he was 18 years old.
Fucking Jesus.
If you put
I don't even know that guy was on steroids at 18 just because back then.
If you put us at 18 next to him, people will go, what the fuck, man? How's that dude 18? I mean,
scary motherfucker. But they said the same thing about Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tyson. There's photos of him when he was 14. He looks crazy big, man.
Well, even when he was 14, he was fighting guys that were like 18 and
stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, do you know the story about his first ever fight?
No, I'll tell you the story. Tell me about
so that. He loves pigeons. He talks about it a lot.
He likes pigeons a lot. Cool. Thanks. Good start to the story.
He likes all kinds of birds. He
likes all kinds of birds.
So when he was little, he used to have a pigeon coop. And, you know, he used to tend to it, look after them, you know, because he grew up in Catskill and didn't really have much of a life. Well, he had a pretty interesting life and it was pretty chaotic. But he loved pigeons because and he used to look after them a lot. And then he had a little pigeon flock. And then the first fight he ever reportedly got into was a guy who actually snapped the neck of one of his pigeons. And really? Then he just lost it. Yeah, that was the first time he ever fought. I think he mentioned that in his autobiography. Do you know that guy used to steal and rob houses back when he was like 14? Yeah. And he used to get drunk all the time. And
well, his mom would give him alcohol to go to sleep.
Yeah, and then he would like, because he was very, very hyperactive as a child. And then he used to be part of gangs and stuff, and then he used to watch his mum get beaten up by her ex-boyfriend or her boyfriends and stuff. Man, it was, or her uncle, and it was just such a rough, like, neighbor going up. But then you think about it, like, when some of the best athletes in the world have come from some of the toughest of environments, so it foresees or prepares them for their future. You know what I mean? There's that something about that mental resiliency about kids who come from a place where, or broken home, or come from that, you know, real nitty-gritty environment.
They've got a little bit more resilience, a little bit more of a thicker skin because they've gone through harder stuff and they're actually maturing and growing up and things like that. Yeah, I would suggest like maybe even GSP because GSP, you know, didn't come from like that bad a background, but you know, he was bullied a lot, and that's why he got into martial arts and things like that. And you know, he told the story about when he was he actually met his high school bully later on down the line. You know, he's the champ, he's doing his thing, and his bully's not doing so good. You know, he's on the other end of extreme of life. It just goes to show sometimes when you are a little bit more resilient, things do go your way. A lot of these top level athletes and sports stars, they did go through some hard stuff, but that kind of mental fortitude that they've built up over a long period of time going through this stuff, it did help them out in the future. You know, all this experience, while it was not wasteful, this experience helped build character and make them stronger and better for it. There's always something you can take and learn from some of these athletes because they've gone through something. I know you read a lot of their autobiographies. I love reading autobiographies and things like that. I love reading a few race car drivers that I like reading about and things like that. The old school race car drivers and that, because they went through a lot of harsh shit as well.
Yeah.
A lot of scary stuff. And it kind of puts a lot of stuff in your regular life into perspective and things like that. It doesn't seem as bad. It doesn't seem as nitty and gritty as you say, because there's some people that do have a worse off life. And because they went through their worst life, it did propel them forward. So it does give you an interesting perspective change. And that's why I think both of us really like to enjoy reading books and autobiographies, because it does teach you some interesting snippets of knowledge you can use for yourself. Maybe even a little bit of perspective change, because everything is perspective.
There you go. Well, do you want to leave it there?
There's one thing I wanted to bring up. And this isn't even MMA related, but you know, we're largely a sports show. See, I'm not a real huge fan of. I want to talk about. Djokovic, the Serbian tennis player, one of the best.
Are you trying to give me high blood pressure right now? Because I found out about this story, and I am just.
Would you like to watch it with me? Because I actually watched it again before.
Like, when I saw this, I wanted to take my phone and throw it through a window. Right,
so those that are listening and not quite sure why...
fucking lose it in a minute, go.
You're not quite sure why Joe is getting upset is... and this isn't the first time a tennis player has been disqualified for negligent use of, you know, the tennis balls and that. You can see from... So I'm going to show Joe again so we can re-watch it. There are better camera angles because some of them cut it out. And then you see the woman holding her neck.
Yeah,
Djokovic is... he hits one of the balls away, because that's what some of these ball people do. They catch the ball and they put it away, and that's their job. They're a line judge. That's what they're called, a line judge. They also pick up some of the balls in that. He hits the ball away, not very harshly, not out of anger, anything like that. Not even looking at the woman, hits it backwards and actually bounces off the ground, bounces up, hits her in her throat. You know, Djokovic is straight away is like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Puts his hand, he's in shock. Now he's disqualified out of the US Open, which is really upset. He's really upset him. And afterwards, like everyone, and they said afterwards, we hope she makes a full recovery. And people were like, bitch, what? She got up and walked away. She's fine.
Not even that, but the
there we go.
I read his apology, man. He wrote a big paragraph.
He never had to write that.
He did not. He said sorry like fucking 10 times, man. You're a professional tennis player who hits balls for a living. Grow a pair.
No, it's not that.
I would have been like, no, oh, come on.
He didn't mean to, right?
I know.
But he's just trying to be nice.
But you don't need to say sorry that many times for something you didn't even purposely do, man. You didn't do anything wrong. It was a mistake. If I were me, I'd be like, oh, shut up. Don't boot me out. She's fine. You know, unless she actually got a severe injury from it, then I'm sorry. But I'm pretty sure she should have just saw that ball coming. It's her job to catch the balls. And she did a shitty job.
Some people argue that, yeah.
And the fact that you kick him out for a gang for an accident.
No, they don't kick him out again. They kick him out the whole US.
Yeah, there you go.
They call it defaulted, which means disqualified. You disqualified. I'm glad some people say.
They let people play on, they smash rackets. You know, eat me.
So they actually do have, as part of their rule book, actually, if it's negligent use or out of anger, it wasn't out of anger. And also that's very subjective for you to have objective rules about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you now, and hopefully this one
has
a good camera angle.
Show me the video.
You're very upset.
Mate, it's ridiculous.
Oh, okay, Rory goes for it, and she's very upset. She gets helped up. Not sure why. You didn't hurt your back. Goes like that. Boom. And straight away, he's like, I'm sorry. It bounces up.
And then he goes over to help her. He's comforting her. He's rubbing her back.
Straight away, he's like, I'm sorry.
She's up. She nods at him. She's fine. She just walks off.
She's fine.
And then they're like, nah, mate, you're out. Oh, he's like, she's walking. Fine. She's fine.
I mean, she might be struggling to breathe. It depends whether she hit her in a windpipe or something like that.
Oh, please. And then they're all like, yep, let's kick his ass out. And look at him. He takes it like a man. If I were him, I'd be like, okay, we'll see you, catch you later. And then I think he actually shook the other tennis player's hand.
Yeah, he came over and just...
And yeah, but he didn't shake the umpire's hand. Yeah, fuck you, that umpire. I mean, you're... Look at him. He's like, are you serious, man?
Come over a little bit so you come into the shot of the camera and that.
He's like, are you serious, dude?
Look, he walks off. He shakes his hand.
Yeah, don't
shake
that.
Most likely apologizes, grabs his gear. The woman's already walked off. Now, See if I can show you, because this one might be the one with the camera angle. That's it. Bounces up.
That was a bit traumatic.
Yeah, so obviously a tennis ball will hurt, especially when you're hit in the throat like that, but clearly not intentional. Boom.
It wasn't a fucking serve. It was just a forehand. Oh.
Also, I don't see, because of the way it looks, you can't actually see the like level of detail in the image, like the resolution, to see if she was even paying attention.
Oh, mate.
She was even looking. I'm going to look at it one more time.
Oh, God.
Bang. I'm not going to lie. I don't have the fastest reactions, but I would have caught it. Even with my mouth, I would have enough time.
Yeah, fuck.
Honestly, it wasn't a overhand. It was just underneath
the ball. Why don't you step out the way?
Well, both of us have done tennis and things like that. Even at uni and things like that, we know how fast tennis balls travel and that. And it's a light little... boom, off the ground. He's obviously not smacking it anywhere, and he's just hitting to the side with a line judge. Either, if you can't catch it, you should be paying attention and you should move out of the way. It's not that hard. It didn't curve or anything like that. I'm on the side of Djokovic because I feel like, one, not his fault.
Yeah.
Two, very unlucky. Three, I feel like either you should have caught the ball or moved out of the way.
You only need to say sorry once, that's it.
I know how you said, oh, you should grow a pair, you know.
If they kick like him out of tennis for that, I'm just going
to... They won't kick him out of tennis for that, but just the US Open, because it's not the first time that this has happened to another tennis player. Tennis players have been disqualified before because of this.
I'm pretty sure... Really? There's worse things that tennis players do.
Was one where there was a line judge and a guy kicked something and it hit the line judge in the shin, and the shin, she got a quite a... he or she got a nasty kind of like gash in her shin, and that was it intentional? I don't think so. However, the dude did do it out of anger because he was frustrated, right? And some of these tennis players do get fucking angry, right? Did Djokovic get angry? No.
Did he want to hurt someone?
No. So very weird that they have to do this, because actually it is in the rule book, and I did look at the specific rule of what it said. However, it's very
subjective
and quite almost hearsay, because you know what is deemed as out of anger or negligent use. Now if you make a mistake, you know, he can't really be 100% of the time accurate and things like that, especially when he's not really paying attention when he's hitting the ball away.
I never was a tennis fan, nor do I ever want to be, but now
I don't like watching it. I like combat. I was speaking about this other day with my family. I like, because, you know, here at Perth, we've got our football team, like soccer teams. Let's not mix it up with AFL, but, you know, my dad was saying, oh, you hated it when I took you to the soccer game. I said, yeah, I like combat. Yeah, I like combat matches. I like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I like Muay Thai. I like MMA. I like combat because, you know, soccer players, when they get anything, they'll fake an injury and they'll roll around on the ground like pussies. And I don't enjoy that because it looks silly. I like the part when they're, you know, I can enjoy the footwork side of soccer. Footwork side where they're passing back and forth, and the goals that they're able to do and the tricks that they're able to do with soccer balls and that. But when they do the faking of the fouls,
yeah,
that's when I switch off.
What was I going to say? What tournament was this? Do we know?
It was the US Open.
There you go. You know what I think? Maybe they just didn't want Djokovic to win. They wanted the USA winner. So they're like, let's make the most of his and kick his ass out.
That's your conspiracy theory hat on. But I don't think it was. It is funny to think of it that way. Because the reason why I think that is, there have been a list of tennis players where they've made a mistake with a tennis ball, or they've done something and a line judge has been assaulted in some way. They even brought out an assault investigation about that guy that went and kicked an object into the line judge, which hit him in the shin. And they actually made an assault investigation about that. So, I don't know. I'm not too sure. Did you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, wrap it up. The world's sensitive. Tennis is sensitive and sucks balls. Good night.
Last pun. Alright, thanks so much for listening. If you want to look at any of our social media, please look us up on Instagram.
Except if you're a tennis fan.
Actually, if you guys are tennis fans, I'm sure you can check out our stuff. As long as you drop a like and you subscribe to our YouTube channel, that would be very appreciated. Thank you very much for listening. Anything else, Joe? Any more stuff you want to talk shit about tennis about? Not worth your time?
Grow some thick skin. Come on, son.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, thanks, guys. We appreciate your support. Guys, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram. We're trying to get our, trying to get the subscribe count up before the end of the year. We're trying to keep these pumped out for you. We're aiming to do at least 30 podcasts before the end of the 30 year.
30 podcasts by the end of the year. I think this must be number 15 or something
16,
like that.
16, 15,
16. I think it's 15 because we didn't release one.
That's fine.
We're going to improve everything. We're improving audio equipment probably by before the end of the year.
Yeah.
We'll sort that out. We'll sort it out in, you know, in the coming months or whatever. Audio equipment. We're going to improve the background. We might sort out a camera for you or something like that, maybe in the future. And we're going to move everything about, and we're going to improve everything. You know, we're going to do some intro stuff. We're going to sort that out. You know, that podcast cover that we were talking earlier today, that was the one of many steps to building this podcast the way we wanted to be built. So thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We both appreciate it.
All the best, guys.
All the best. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Peace. Bye, guys.